What does that say? No black what?
No black, what? No dogs, no Irish. Black.
No dogs,
you
no
always,
Irish.
You always got the things going in, didn't it?
What do you mean?
You always got the things going in.
Are we live on Facebook?
I don't
know. No, not Facebook. We don't use Facebook.
Yeah. And Instagram, yeah.
I don't understand because I just called them before I called you.
Yeah.
So all right.
Who's that? Lee, is that you?
What's that?
Talking.
All right, we're back now.
Yeah, I'm talking now.
No.
All right, listen, my camera's shit because I'm on the laptop today because I just dropped my whole fucking computer on the floor and it's broken. Anyway, what's going on? Welcome to another episode of Cut the Chat. I just got off air 9 minutes ago and I'm tired. How is everyone?
I love that energy though, that radio energy. That's quite
That's
nice.
That's all the energy you're getting today. That's it. I'm going to go get a drink. You lot go and talk and can you guys just entertain the people for a little bit? I need a beverage. Let my mouth dry.
Apes. I've never heard you like this before.
I'm fed up, man. I'm tired, man. Mm-hmm. Fed up.
You're letting the listeners think that you're doing some randang-danting today.
Lee, where have you gone, Lee? What are you doing?
I'm here, man. I'm just trying to get up the thing in it because I don't have two things. I'm trying to get up there so I can see the comments.
What?
Okay. I loaded up the wrong thing.
Yes, you did.
I'm trying to get so I can see the comments, innit?
Lee, I haven't seen you for a very long time. I miss your face. Let me see your face, bro.
All right. Dead there. Hold on, I can see you. I can see you. Can you see me? What's going on? So you're back to work, man.
Bruv.
You love it, man.
I'm tired, bro.
You love it, don't I? Are you used to all them days off now? Now bruv. You're tired.
I am, you know what it is? I'm tired. So on Sunday, so obviously went back to work on Saturday and that was fine. Mm. That was just like a normal day. And I was at my mum's on Sunday for dinner, yeah?
Mm.
And you know, having to say these words, I need to leave now because I have work in the morning. Is what? I haven't had to say that for like 3.5-4 months.
Mm-hmm.
And even that was just weird to say, like, I've got to go because I need to sort myself out for work in the morning. That's
what I mean. Staying there till late on a Sunday.
But it was only like, we was there till I think about 10.
Mm.
But I was saying, if you know me already, remember when you was at my house, you know me. Yeah. I'm ready to do it. Yeah.
You look but battered.
I was saying this. Hold on. Let me turn this on. Let me turn this on silent. Hold on. Hold on. Yeah, I was saying
Femi can't get into the room.
Huh?
Femi can't get into the room.
You're going to have to wait till Ace comes back. You don't know how to do this at all.
Oh, yeah, Ace is away from the laptop. Yeah, so go on. What are you saying?
Yeah. I mean, it was good, though. It was good.
I saw some queues, man. I swear, I drove past a few barber shops. I saw some massive queues.
I didn't understand that because a lot of people were saying the same thing. Who is that talking? Is that the menu?
Yeah. We've had a little dilemma with the food. Today.
Okay, what you don't want to put your foot down and let her know you're live?
No, this is the only room with reception at the moment, isn't it? Basically, the dilemma today is that we're trying to put through a promo code on the food app. I'm not going to name them because we don't talk about them. So what has happened is
not Deliveroo, the other one.
I don't know. There's just a food app as far as I'm concerned.
Okay.
Anyway, they, so as we're trying to put the, because it's 50% off basically if you spend 30 or something anyway. So we're trying to put it through, but it wasn't working on my phone. So she's checked it on her phone and as she's checked, she's put it order through. It went through and I connected at the same time.
Yeah.
So she was meant to just check and it worked. So I was in a different room to her. So I said, I'll put the food through. She goes, oh, I've just done it on my phone. And now we're just trying to cancel the order, which is a nightmare because this third party, what's it called, app, are a bit stupid when it comes to communication.
I don't know what you're gonna. What did you order? What food did you get?
She got some. It's what is it? Vietnamese, just down the road.
Okay, I don't know, mate. You just got to pay for two, innit?
Struggling. Yeah, we're struggling. Yeah, well, just pay for two. I ain't been what since March. That's not an option at the moment. Takeaway is a treat. my brother. Pickle is a treat, you get me? But yeah, that is what it is.
I've seen a lot more black taxis on the road. What's going on? When are you hitting the road?
I was going to hit the road today, but this week, but I had to go to the hospital today. My godson had a heart op today. So I spent the day in the hospital.
Godson had a heart operation?
Yeah, he had a heart operation. So basically, 207.
Lee? 275.
Just giving the phone line, the phone number to the whole of 5 million listeners.
27.
Yeah. So basically, his heart used to race. So basically, he's got a computer chip in his heart. So sometimes he can be sitting there, and the hospital. This is how my technology is. The hospital will phone and say, "Is he doing exercise or something?" And they'll be like, and the parents will be like, "No, why? Because his heartbeat's going up. Like they can monitor it going up and down. Do you know what I'm saying? And he plays a lot of sports, so it's like an overactive heart. So basically,
It's my man's son, right? You don't need to say his name.
Yeah.
I see him. He rolled past me, I think, on Saturday, I think. Okay, cool.
So literally, we had to, he had the heart up today, and so I went down to support the family in it. But obviously, as much as you don't want to talk about it, it's a life-threatening, you get what I'm saying, procedure. Anything to do with the heart, you never know what could happen. Do you know what I mean? So they literally had to go in and take it out. Go on.
You know they're writing out your phone number in the chat.
Phone number's gone live. People are plugged up. Oh, that the restaurant's number. Oh, it's fine. It's fine. That's the restaurant's number.
All right, let's get serious. What kind of op was it? What exactly were they doing?
So basically, they had to go in through the groin today, basically cut open the heart. Then they had to make it react. So because when he was younger, because his heart, because he was only a small heart, it was hard for them to get it racing, for them to operate, because the only way they're going to be able to work out what's wrong with it is by, do you get what I'm saying, charging it. So today they charged it, they worked out what the problem is, and they fixed it, which is within like 2 hours, which is mad. But obviously, you know, if anyone knows, going to hospital at the moment, it's a mad thing, because you can't go in there. You have to, even if you go in there, you have to take a corona test a couple of days before. Wait for the answer. Literally, there was a lot of hanging about outside. Which, obviously, I went to a children's hospital in it, so I went Great Ormond Street. There was loads of kids coming in and out, man. You know, it's mad to watch that hospital, you know that? You get what I'm saying? Like, it hurts. It hurts to watch how many kids go in and out of that hospital. So literally, and then we waited for him to come out of the anaesthetic, and he woke up. And obviously, they gave him the green light to go home in it, but they want to keep him. They said he can go home, but they can keep him overnight. But telling a kid to stay overnight, it's not happening, in it. So he's dying to come home and play Fortnite and computer, and he knows it's gonna be live for him for the next couple of weeks. You know what I'm saying? He's getting that treatment. You know what I mean?
So what's the situation in regards to his recovery? Can he just go back to being active, or has he got to be cool for like a couple of days?
So basically, he's got to chill for 2 weeks. So he's not allowed contact with obviously the outside world at the moment, because obviously the whole corona thing. So he's got to isolate for 2 weeks prior to that. And then obviously, when he feels stronger, he just comes straight back and goes into the mix. So I don't think it's going to be long, but obviously now they don't have to worry. And do you know what I mean? Even like when he stays here tonight, the amount of medication he gets, it's mad. He gets a proper boot bag full of medication. Plus you've got to take the injections. He does the injections by himself, but even watching a kid take injections, bro.
How old is he now? What is he? What is 10. He?
He's 10. He's 10 now. Mm. Do you know what I mean? So obviously they have to take all their medication. He's still got asthma. But like I said, it was always a drama. Like, not a drama, but obviously the parents were always worried that anyone he stayed with. And obviously I've got a reputation for being quite reckless and mad. And you know what? Yeah. I don't take it. And sometimes, you know, like, you got to take it serious. Right, you know what I'm saying? So,
Ace, we can hear you.
Does he know that he's... that just sounded so dodgy. Oh, thanks, Carlene. Even though we know Carlene's one of his producers, isn't she a producer on his show? Or on one of the shows?
Yeah, Yeah.
Okay.
On the radio. Go on. Carry on.
Yeah, so no, it was nice to see him up and running, man. Obviously, I was around the family and they just looked drained. You know, like you're just watching him drain, like obviously you're worried, you know what I mean? So yeah, I just went down to support. Tried to bust joke, but you have to be kind of like sensitive towards the jokes you're busting.
What, you sensitive towards jokes you're busting?
Yeah, do you know what I'm saying? Do you know, I've noticed that? I've been in so many situations now where I just can't even bust jokes no more. I feel bad busting jokes. I feel like things I used to say, like say 5 years ago, I can't say them no more, man. I'm running low, man.
Don't worry. We'll get you back.
Because of the whole movement. Did Carlene sort you out, Ace?
Yeah, she was just having our debrief about the show that we just did. Gets swore 20 seconds before we came off air. He dropped a whole F-bomb.
Hardcore.
Wait, what were you doing? Explain what were you doing, because
So basically, the One Extra Talk Show that me and Shawnee did, that we actually did a debrief, we did like a month after, which is today. It's been a month. And it was just about the progress that's happened in, like,
I did hear that advertised, yeah.
Yeah, in corporates, like all the stuff that has happened not as a result of that show, but just in the month, because we've seen loads of different organizations come out and say, we're going to try and do diversity, we're going to give money to this and da da da. We're just talking about what's happened since.
Yeah.
And we had Getz on as a guest in the last half hour to talk about Stop and Search, because we was talking about the athlete that got pulled over. You guys saw that video?
Yeah.
And then Guess just started getting into one, and then he was just dropped an F-bomb right at the end.
So what does that mean?
Like, the fucking house. I was like, what? Guess is usually so professional. It was mad. I'm so shocked. I'm still in shock. But there you go. If you guys want to go check out that show, myself and Reese Parkinson, we just did that. I'm sure it'll be available later on. But I'm drained today now. I'm really tired. But anyway. Fem, so, what's going on, Fem?
I'm there, man.
Good?
Yeah. I'm doing up tweets, doing up Instagram on the chat page, trying to get people to join us. I'm good, man. I'm like, never been happier, lads. Never been happier.
Why? What's going on?
No, not even when your kids were born.
You know, I was only there when one of my child was born. One of my
children. Me too.
I only made one of them.
So was I. I was there when only one of mine was born as well.
Only got one, cuz.
Femi, can I get you in trouble?
Me?
Yeah, go on. Happiest day of your life, your wedding day, or when your first son was born?
When my first son was born.
Really?
Yeah.
No, you can't say that, man.
Mine was my wedding day.
I'm keeping it real. Because
can't say that, man.
Listen, I cried, yeah? Tears of joy, fear.
Pranging it.
I've never had that sensation in my life. But I'm happy, but sad, but scared, those tears, yeah, were the realest tears I've ever shed in my whole life.
Mad.
I just felt them coming down my face. Because in that moment, I grew in love for my wife, my mum, like everything. My whole life just flashed before my eyes. I was thinking, look what I put my mum through. Now my son's gonna put me through this. Like, thank you so much. I respected my mum so much in that moment when my son was born. I remember I was like the first person to see him. I was thinking, this is a real human being and I'm responsible for them. Mm. I'm not even a responsible person. Like obviously the wedding, you plan it, you organize it, you imagine it in your head. So when it happens, you sort of like, if everything goes to plan, it's sort of like, it's not as shocking. Like, having a child is shocking.
A whole human being that you're responsible for.
Imagine a whole... No, but honestly, though, what I thought was like a whole me, like a different version of a whole me. And I'm responsible...
Man said a whole him, not even half of him, a whole of him.
That, and I thought, I'm responsible for that. And that just... I just started crying.
I don't know why the image of you crying makes me laugh.
It's funny, isn't it? It's because you can't imagine it. I can't even imagine you crying.
I'll be honest, I've never cried real tears like that in my life. Like that actual, but also it's like complicated tears. It wasn't like, you know when you cry, you're sad, someone's passed, you sad, you cry.
That's
a mix of emotion.
You see those tears? They were complicated tears.
Right.
Mm. Nothing like it.
Yeah,
That was one of the most impactful days in my life.
Is it bad that I didn't cry when my daughter was born?
Why didn't you cry? I didn't.
She came out on a screw face thing. She came out on a screw face thing. I was like, put her back.
I actually weren't interested in that.
Can I get a next one, please?
A next what? Yeah, you understand what I'm saying?
Can I get a refund? Send me a next one.
Man said I don't want this one.
You're on the next one, Brendan.
What? Okay, so let's throw this question to you, Ace. Throw the same question to you.
So like, when my daughter was, I wasn't in the room when my daughter was born. I don't remember. There was complications, and the mother of my children, her aunt was a midwife, and so she went in the room. And I was like, look, she went and kind of helped sort out what was going on. But I remember, like, when I went in, I was emotional. I don't think I cried. I think I had more fear than anything else. The fear was there. I was emotional when my son was born. But my son was, if anybody doesn't know, my son was born at 27 weeks. He was 12 weeks early. And he came out, he's 1 pound, 3 ounces. Like, he was... And I was like right there when they took him out. We had to take him out early. And just seeing like the tiniest of babies and just like this little thing that got me, boy. I'm getting emotional thinking about it. So that was emotional for me. And then, that was a quite, even in that whole period of having to go and see him at the hospital every day and just watching him grow and seeing machines and man, the NHS, like, I don't care, man. It's an amazing thing, boy. What they do and how they look after people, it's crazy.
When they get it right, definitely.
100%.
Absolutely.
1,000,000%.
Definitely. Go on.
I know when you're gonna cry though.
Who, me? Right, when?
Yeah, you're gonna bawl on your wedding day. I just know it. Like,
Uncle's gonna be there crying, man.
I know Damon is gonna cry.
Based on Cut the Chat experience, Damon is the most likely to cry out of all of us.
100%.
What?
100%.
Do you know the worst thing? Wait, no, okay, easy with that there. Do you know what the worst thing is? Ace, I don't actually disagree with you. But Femi, slow down with that comment about anything.
Now, Lee's emotional as well. Lee's emotional as well.
He's back. I was going to say, he's, you know, man dipped out as we're talking about this kind of stuff here.
Emotional drunk.
Yeah. You're an emotional drunk, 100%.
No, you're annoying. You're annoying when you're drunk.
But listen, don't try and divert that man called you a crybaby on the chat. Hold that thing, man. Own it. There's nothing wrong with it, man.
Damon's the most emotional one out of all of us.
You think so?
Yeah.
That's nice to see, man. Girls love that, man. Look at him in the comments. Oh, bless him.
You're a fool. Anyway, forget all of this. Let's move on. Let's talk about some tuggy stuff.
What tuggy stuff?
Wait. Did you not talk about the Will and Jada thing last week?
Can we talk about that now?
Let's go in.
Can I just start by saying, fuck August Alsina.
Whoa!
Yeah.
Why?
Because...
That's your guy, Ace.
Are you going to let me go first? Because I've got lots to say on this.
Go on.
I don't even know where to start. First of all, if you are a man, if there's a couple that have an arrangement, and their arrangement is, I'm going to do this, she's going to do that, we're going to keep it in-house, no one needs to know. And if you as a man have come in on their arrangement and you've spoken to the husband and the husband says, easy, go through, that's you, innit? Like, just respect our thing, and don't pull it out there. How dare you, after being dumped, yeah, sit down and expose it to the world? How dare you?
I agree.
Absolute dare you? Like, we've brought you into our house, into our thing that we don't want no one to know about, and we've had an arrangement, and you think that you can go and sit down in an interview and tell us what, tell people what's going on in my yard? Are you okay?
Don't you feel
are you like okay? No. And also, yeah, we as a community, yeah, we need heroes. We need our heroes. Like, our heroes have fucked up. Bill Cosby, gone. R. Kelly, gone. Yeah. We need Will and Jada. We need to look at Will and Jada and say, yeah, black love. Yes, we had all of these whispers about open marriage, and but no one actually knew. We looked at them and we said, yes, black love, red table talks. Now, this dickhead wants to sit in front of a camera and talk about what's going on in the Smith family household. Pussy.
Let's be honest though. Looking at him in that interview,
yeah,
the perm was all done, was all fluffy. He had rainbow hair. The man's got problems, bro.
I don't rate it.
No, but do you know what? I'll be honest with you. I personally think I understand what Will and Jada were doing. Yeah. But to play devil's advocate, I think also that, hold on. Okay. I was reading messages at the same time. I also think that maybe she manipulated him at a time he was vulnerable.
Nah.
You don't think so?
He's a grown man. You're a grown man, bro.
So the fact that he's a grown man means that what? You can't suffer from mental illness?
Nah, you're a grown man.
There's definitely mental illness there, man.
Let me tell you why I'm not going to accept that as an maybe that did happen. Let's just say that it did happen.
Okay.
At the end of the day, fam, you got an album that dropped this week. That's all it comes down to. Do you think that he would have, you got an album that come out this week, you wanted clout and you want to tell the world that you beat Jada Pinkett Smith. That's all it comes down to, bruv. That's it. And I don't rate it.
Yeah.
I don't rate it. I'm sorry.
For real, when you someone else put that to me, and I was thinking, yeah, I didn't get carried away.
Have you heard the argument, Ace?
That what?
Whatever's in the dark will come out in the light.
No, but it's not in the. It's in our, like. That's not dark. Is what is dark though? Okay, let's forget the mental health side of it. Yeah, let's just say that Jada wanted a young thing, and Will Smith said, "Cool." That's not dark. That's their family thing. That's their family. That's what they do. That's not the dark. They didn't lie to no one. They're doing stuff in their own house, their own personal private house.
They asked Jada Wagwan and she said, nah, it's all lies. That's what
he said. Because that's my personal thing. I don't want the world to know that
I'm not answering the question. She come out and said, nah,
then that would confirm it. Then that would confirm it.
Fact.
Also, can we also say allegedly? We don't actually know that he's actually being.
You know what? Should I be real? Yeah, I heard it's all true, and because someone told me about it even time ago. Because I was randomly sat down with them,
a good couple of years ago, right?
Yeah, and I was sat down with them, and they've gone to me. I've gone to them. You know what? Because they look after this other American R&B artist, so I've gone to them. Oh, what happened to August Arcina? And he goes, listen. He fell in love with Jada Pinkett Smith. He moved in with them, fell in love with her, and then she broke up with him. And he had mental health problems. He had a mental health breakdown afterwards. And like from that, he kind of fell off.
Let's have it right though, yeah? If you're gonna release the album, this is the best time to do it. This is the best time to drop the thing on the thing and tell them yes.
I don't rate it, man.
You get that traffic going your way, bro.
Let me tell you something. If I slept with Jada Pinkett Smith, and someone said, "Did you sleep with Jada Pinkett Smith?" I'd say no. I've never even seen Set It Off. I don't even know what you're talking about. I don't know who Jada Pinkett Smith is. I don't know what you're talking about. That's how you're supposed to move. That's how he's supposed to move.
Not what you're trying to sell on the album, Ace.
No, that's how you're supposed to move. That is how he's supposed to move.
No. Do you know what somebody said to me the other day, years ago. Yeah, we was having a conversation about women going crazy and all of that kind of stuff. And you know, like, everyone's heard a story of a mad woman, of a crazy woman doing antics, setting man's car on fire, scratching up man's car, this and that, yeah? And you know what this woman said in the barbershop? She goes, every woman that's gone crazy It's because of a man. A man has done something, yeah, that sent that woman crazy. But we're happy and be like, yeah, that woman's crazy, that woman's off too. Yeah? Now the rules have been reversed, yeah? Now the roles have been reversed. At the end of the day, Jada, Will, and August, yes, you're all adults, yeah? But people fall differently for people.
Nah, yeah? I'm not, Jada, I don't rate it.
Bruv, Jada should have taken time and helped my man work out the thing and whatever else. He was clearly vulnerable, and she didn't give him the aftercare service
Gave him the amazing wamps, 100%. But the thing is, yeah, listen,
let's take a moment. Amazing.
Hey, you see, when you've had the best wumps of your life,
yeah.
The girl stroked your head alive.
We've all been there, 100%.
Wait. Not only did he get that, she kicked knowledge of him afterwards. She told him, she was like, Puck, are you mad? This is what 100%. I need.
Listen, he moved in with a happy relationship. He lived with the family. They said, like, they were saying he was their other son. They were saying he was their other child.
He came in the yard with Jaden.
That's grooming. They groomed him.
Ace. Jade is wrong for that.
No.
Jade is a big woman.
Let me tell you something. Let me just quickly say something, yeah? We know men that have had side chicks, yeah? Let's be honest. We know men that have had side chicks, and the side chick will never fess up to what she's doing with the man. She'll go and... Wait. She'll go and chill with the girlfriend. She'll go, like, hang out with the girlfriend. No one will ever know that the man and the girl and the side chick are doing whatever, yeah? Well, Jada did it the correct way. Her husband was in on it. Her husband knew. Man sat down with her husband and said, look, this is what... Da-da-da-da. They did it the correct way. Like,
let's be right though, Ace. Any husband that gives his woman that permission, that means he has a couple of things lined up himself.
Yeah, of course he does.
If you're going to say that to your girl, you say, hey, yeah, no, go to you. Go, yeah, that's you. I can kind of see you with him still.
I just don't think there was anything dark going on. Like, I don't agree with that lifestyle. A man can never touch my woman, 100%. That's not my lifestyle, but we're not Smiths, you get me? That can never be me, but they did it the correct way. And I think it's unfair that if you've agreed to be in this situation, just because you've got dumped, you can then just expose it to the world. That don't sit right with me.
But that happens every day. It's Jada. That happens every day.
Let me tell you something.
Both guys and girls walking around on road eating food out of rubbish bins. Yeah. Because of mental health after the breakup of a relationship. Bruv, this is real talk.
My thing is about side chick etiquette. My thing's about, let me tell you something right now. Yeah. And also one thing's about side chick etiquette. And also it's about protecting our legends. If Barack Obama has hoes, I'm not saying he does, and I'm saying he doesn't. If Barack Obama has hoes, I don't want to know. I don't want to know. We as the public do not deserve to know that, because he's a great man and he's done great things. I want him to be the legend that he is. So if Will Smith has a side thing and Jada has a side thing, we don't deserve to know that. That's their business. Like, no, as long as Will Smith,
do you know what's crazy is that they've been alluding to that for years though, Ace. By bringing themselves to that red tabletop thing on Facebook, where Facebook was giving them a crazy pee, they invited us into their family, into their relationship, into the runnings of their family. Even my missus watched an interview with them before, and she said they were talking about their kind of open relationship, like suggesting that they're in a life partnership or whatever, not really in a romantic relationship. And my missus said when she was watching it, it didn't look like Will Smith was happy. She said it looked like he just went along with it because he sprung.
So we saying that she's a witch then, basically.
She's
got the Erykah Badu pumps.
My missus said, that he looked like he was doing it, not because he wants to do it. It looked like, or he sounded like he was doing it to make his wife happy. Like, that was the only way he could keep her.
Let's be honest. I don't even think they sleep in the same bedroom.
Which one?
The same house.
I told you, Zot. Listen, I met Jay. I even told my missus. I goes to my missus. Listen, I met Jada Pinkett. I get it. She doesn't look like she's from this world.
Oh. That's Erykah Badu.
No. She's ethereal. Yeah. Google that one. She looks like she's from another planet.
I'm gonna Google that one.
Google it.
I'm gonna Google that one.
Listen, hey. Listen.
Anyway, I just don't like the whole situation. I think if you've agreed to do whatever we're doing, it don't sit down. You can't go and sit down and do interviews like.
Did you see Will Smith's last? IG post.
What did he say?
He looked tired, cuz. He looked the news came out, bro. The eye bags. There was grey in his beard. I was like, bro, you didn't even dye that thing. You've lost it now. And I don't think he's actually upset that he got nabbed. He's like, he didn't put the information out there. Someone
exactly.
Yes. Yeah.
I don't like it.
Either way, they're doing their thing. She said she's gonna take herself to the red table. That then I will watch it.
Yeah, that's gonna be mad, isn't it?
I ain't watching it.
That's gonna be mad, you know.
No. You're a proper fan.
I am 100%. I'm like everyone I'm a fan of is in jail. It's like I can't be. I'm not allowed to be a fan of them anymore. It's long. I don't want to see no more of my legends go to jail. I'm finished.
I mean, at least they won't go to jail for this one.
Yeah, hopefully. But yeah, I don't like it. I don't. Most of my legends have just get dragged.
So are you gonna stop playing August Alsina?
Yeah, I don't really play August. He's not the best R&B artist.
No, no one plays August. Because he's alright. Ruined his life.
He's alright. He's not the best. Like he's not
ruined his career.
That's another thing.
At
like,
one stage, he had all the hype.
Couldn't she have picked Trey Songz or like? Well, I got like.
Which one of y'all?
Even a young Bryson Tiller or something like what got like August? Come on, man.
No.
Yeah, but you remember that was her son's brethren, innit? You know how he came home one day and she introduced him and she probably didn't even penny him at first. And then he kept coming over, blood. Came over. Jada's not here today. Oh no, I left my books upstairs and that. All right, cool, yeah, come true. And she's walking around in a robe and that, and then he just I don't know. Yeah, he started talking about his life story, innit? You know Jada can't help but help. You know them ones there.
Like apparently, he's got a deeper life story. You know.
Yeah, yeah. Because I was
from a troubled home.
Yeah, he come through a lot. He probably just started crying in the kitchen, innit? And you know what she's like. Sit down.
That's even worse. Ace, your argument's dead. Your argument's dead. She took advantage of him. She saw the youth was broken.
Whatever.
What else?
Listen. So I've got my brethren, Scotty, joining us today because. I feel like, you know what, we did a lot of episodes, yeah, where it seemed like we don't have white friends or whatever, or like we don't talk to white people because we're very much on the Black Lives Matter thing. And so I thought it's really important that we highlight that we've got allies, do you get what I'm saying, in this journey, in this whole like, you know, race
thing. You know what this sounds like?
Go on.
Imagine you're talking to a white brother. My mum's like, yeah, I've got a black friend. Yeah, I've got a black friend. I'll bring you round.
No, but we have allies. Do you get what I'm saying? We've got allies in this. There's like, you know, allies in this thing, in this journey, in this fight against racism. And so I just felt like it's important. Like, you know, my friend Scotty, he's launched this. Is it called GoFundMe? GoFundMe page. Where they're raising money to buy books for primary schools to have diverse books, literature, for the kids in primary schools. Because like a lot of the primary schools, they don't really have literature about black people. They don't have literature about, you know, black history. So like they're raising money to buy like, he'll be able to tell us more, like 40 books or whatever. And so like, I just thought, I was quite intrigued by that. Why did that? What was the rationale behind it? And I thought, you know what, it'd be cool to get him on. What's going on, Jay Brown? Jay Brown's in the chat calling us racist.
I'm laughing at Jay Brown. Shut up, bro. Shut up.
I've asked him to join us.
Okay.
And I'm hoping that Ace can add him.
Wait, hold on. Oh, he's there. Hold on. Here we go. Sorry.
How long have you known this guy for me?
Scott, he was in Ibiza, boy. Doing up lifestyle with me. I've known him for a minute. He's like, you know my boy Alex?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They grew up together.
Okay.
Scotty, why are you not on video?
Can we
see you?
Yeah, sorry, boys.
There you go.
There you go. Our only white friend, along with Jay Brown. Him and Jay Brown. That beef a gang. Scotty, how are you, bro?
Mixed race. He looks
racist. Yeah,
looks
I'm good.
Mixed race still, slyly.
Lighting. It's the lighting.
This brother can dance as well, you know.
Yeah, I feel better. I'm a lot better since probably the last time I see you guys was in Ibiza when I lost half my teeth. So,
oh, you guys remember what happened? That? Yeah, what happened?
They're better now.
No, tell them about Ibiza. That was funny day.
What party was that? That was the one extra one.
Yeah, they were there. They were there at that party, but they had some next VVIP ace pass. We just bought a table next to Road Man. Imagine this. Imagine our table, yeah? We spent money on this table. Good money. Legit money. On one side, we had all the old school Road Man from Watford or Luton. Luton.
It was Luton,
on the other
yeah.
side, we had Nines and all these boys from Housden. And they were like, they were saying to us, don't worry about, to their brethren, don't worry about them. They're normal guys. They're normal guys.
Oh, gosh.
Can you explain how you lost your teeth? What happened?
So when we left, I probably had one too many, but when we left, we had to walk past the pool. And I don't know whose idea was it to have tiled steps on the pool.
Ouch.
But, so when we got to the top of the steps, I just hit the first one, slipped, span around, and bit one of the steps.
Ow.
So obviously I got up thinking, there's like 2,000 people in there. Someone must have seen me. This is embarrassing. Tried to cover my mouth. Someone said to me, you're okay. I was like, hey, I'm fine. And then they said, are you sure you're okay? And I opened my mouth and then I see some teeth on the floor and blood all over my damn Virgil Nike Air Max. Oh, yeah.
Man. This brother's got a mad trainer collection as well.
I was wearing my favorite trainers and I've got blood all over them now.
Oh, man.
So I'm more upset about that. So then, yeah, trip to Turkey. 6 months later, sorted it all out.
Go on, fix that up.
Sorry, man's got the Getz teeth now.
So, Mr. Scotty, so Femi told us that you're doing some stuff with books, with you're getting books into schools, diverse books into schools. What's all that about?
So, well, first start of June, I went to one of the marches in Hyde Park, one of the Black Lives Matter marches. Actually, the one where John Boyega was there and was actually stood pretty close to him, actually, throughout the whole thing, and just came away feeling super energized and wanting to do something. But I think like a lot of people in my place want to do something, but don't really know where to start. And so it just all kind of fell into place that same night. I don't know if you would have seen any of them, but there was posts going around throughout the last couple of months of books that people should be reading or 30 books for kids that you should show your kids. And I had a look at one of them and sent one around online. And a primary school teacher of mine, friend of mine, just replied and said, I'd love to have these books in my school, but chances are that the school's never going to have them. So I said to her, look, go in tomorrow. I was kind of feeling a bit empowered. I said, look, go in tomorrow. I don't know where I thought my bank balance was, but I said, go in tomorrow. And if the school won't pay for them, I'll buy you those 30 books. And she said, great. Sadly, I think I might have to take you up on that, but let's take it from there. Another teacher friend of mine, and I realized I'd put my foot in it because another teacher friend of mine see that conversation and said, my school want those books as well. So that evening I thought, well, I can't obviously fund. I think the bundle came to about 280 quid. So I thought, this is going to get quite expensive here if all my teacher friends jump on. So just for that one evening, I set up a GoFundMe page to try and find £300 for the other school. Set it up, and within 24 hours, it was at £5,000.
Sick.
So I realized that I'd stumbled onto something and everything started to kind of fall in line. And then because GoFundMe, I'm sure GoFundMe have got these algorithms where if you get a certain amount of hits on your site, they get in touch with you and ask you if you want any PR for free. And a bit like that Captain Tom guy, they would have got in touch with him and said, yeah, you need to do this, 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 and we'll do a meeting with you here and a press release. And so that's what they did with me. And it ended up in the Daily Mail of all papers, but it actually did. And a few other places. And before I knew it, it was at 10 grand. And now it's at, today it's at 13 and a half. And so we've managed to find distributors who can get the books down from the full price down to half price. So it originally was meant to be 20 books for 250 quid. We can now do 40 because speaking to teachers, I feel like I've spoke to more head teachers in the last month than I knew even existed. But speaking to them, they've told me that 20 books really in a primary school aren't really going to touch the sides. That you're not going to notice them in the school. So we doubled it to 40 books and for the same price. Currently, we're at about 65, 70 schools all over the UK. So we've got some in majority started off in London, but they've started to trickle out. And then most surprisingly of all, I got an email on my GoFundMe page from a guy called Ross Westland. Shout out to Ross, by the way, who is the creative director of Billionaire Boys Club, Pharrell's brand. And he just messaged me and said, he didn't tell me where he'd seen it, but he said, I've seen the GoFundMe. We want to do something. We're releasing a t-shirt tomorrow, just a basic Billionaire Boys Club t-shirt, but just all in black on black. And he said, we've already signed up with two other charities, and we want your GoFundMe page to be the third charity per se to be a part of it. And the other two were the Stephen Lawrence Trust, which is, and Black Minds Matter. So to even be a part of those two groups was just mind blowing. And I got an email from them this week to let me know that it's all been pushed back a little bit because the amount of t-shirts they sold was far beyond what they thought they was going to sell. So we're having to wait for the t-shirts to come, but also we're obviously having to wait for the money. So at the moment, I've got no idea how much money may be coming from them. It might be 50 quid, it might be 500, I've got no idea. But I'm hoping to get closer to 15 grand and then, yeah, get these books into schools all around the country to start that conversation.
Amazing. What would be the end goal for you? Is it just something that you're going to keep doing until every school's got them?
You know what? It's like, I guess I always, whenever I get asked that question, I always think back to that Tupac line about, I think he says it on Changes where he says about, I'm not going to be the person to change the world, but I guarantee I'm going to be that person who sparks someone in order to make that change. Mm-hmm. And I think like that's what this has always been about. It's not, I know that 15 grand doesn't cover, it covers 50 or 60 primary schools. There are 16,000 primary schools in England. So I think it was 3 million to cover all of the primary schools. When it was going up a little bit quickly, I started to work that figure out, stupidly. Mm-hmm. But I worked out what that figure was, and I know I'm not ever going to be able to help all the schools. So the whole point of this is to try and get in as many schools around the country, but then allow the ripple effect to start. So what I found with this is, and Femi will know this, teachers, they talk to each other from different schools all over the country. They may have been training with them and then they've all gone into different directions all over the country. And if the books work in the schools that I've given them to, then they will tell their teacher friends, look, if you guys are struggling with this topic, here's a bunch of books that you guys need to get. They worked amazingly for us. And then I'm trying to force the schools who I'm being told have got the budgets, but just aren't prioritizing properly. And that's, for me, the biggest issue, because most of the feedback I've got from the primary schools and the head teachers are that they've actually got the money to buy these books. They just don't know why either, which ones to buy, which might be a bit of a cop out, but they're just not putting their funds in the right places.
Chris, so have you come up against any schools that actually don't want the books?
I haven't come up against any schools. I had a little bit of hate from people who were anonymously emailing me, just kind of a little bit of a backlash. I've also had some people go quiet on me a little bit, Which is funny, eh? When you do these things,
you start to see who your real friends are.
I guess it's a case of cutting the grass, right? Certain family members. I was saying this to a mutual friend of mine and Femi's today, Martin. I said to him, I've been through the emotional upset kind of phase earlier in this process where I was upset about for my friends and feeling helpless and I couldn't do anything and seeing my friends go through some bad times over all this. And now I'm through that phase and now I'm in the angry, let's get shit done kind of stage where I don't care if certain family members strike me off or if certain friends don't want to talk anymore. It's like, I think the time for me for letting people get away with those comments on Facebook from our ex-school members or our distant family members, that time has gone. I don't feel like I can personally sit there and where I used to maybe last year, just let that stuff go. Now I've got to a stage where I'm happy to cut people out if that means that I have to pull people up on things. So I haven't actually had any schools say that they don't want them, because where we can only help 60 or 70 schools at the moment, I've kind of been trying to do it on a basis where, like Lushan School, for example, with Femi, like, does your school want them? If the headmaster wants them or headmistress wants them, then they get in touch with me and they send me an email to say, hey, we'd love these books. And they kind of give me a small little plan about how they're going to use them and implement them as well. Because no one just wants to take 40 incredible books and just put them on the library shelf and then not see them ever again. It's an absolute waste of time for everyone. So we're trying to speak to schools, make sure they're going to implement them. And the people who are actually finding the books for us and getting them at a right price are also lesson planners as well. So they've said to me that if I wanted to, which is a great idea, and not only they'll find the books for me at a good price, but they'll also write lesson plans around some brief lesson plans around some of the books to just, because I've had schools in Cornwall, for example, who have said to me, we don't have any Black or Asian children within a 10-mile radius of our school. Yet we feel like we need these books more than anyone. Mm-hmm. And you start to see it actually hits both sides. The inner city London kids need these books because it's important for Black and Asian children to be represented in their classrooms by their library, surely. But also on the flip side, in schools where it's all white, to have that conversation brought up. And sometimes because that conversation isn't maybe happening at home, for a child to go home at 4 or 5 or 6 and say, I read a book about Rosa Parks today, as an example, like, even if the parent comes back with something that we wouldn't want to hear, at least that child then comes back into the classroom and says, hey, my mum and dad say that Rosa Parks was a bad person. And then you have that conversation and then the teacher can maybe push you in the right direction. If the books aren't there in the first place, you never even start that dialogue and that conversation. So, and one of the things Femi said to me about how can you help, and also one of the things I said was, I'm constantly learning as well. Like, one of the biggest problems with, I guess, the white middle class, in my opinion, is that we just think we've completed racism. Like myself, for example, the worst thing I could possibly do is say, right, I've got my graduation in not being racist. I don't need to learn anymore. I know it all. I've got everything, right? I'm constantly learning, constantly getting things wrong, but my friends are putting me right, and we talk about them and then we move on. And then I pass those lessons on to other people. And I think that's the problem that we have, is that these books are going to be for kids the stimulus to start having those conversations. And my question to you guys was, do you think, person, because I'm here to learn as well, just as much, do you guys think that seeing yourself as heroes in books growing up in primary school level may have changed the path that you went on? Would that have made much of a difference? For example, I've had people say to me, well, it's a fact that 4% of the books that are published, children's books that are published in the UK, have a Black or Asian hero character. 4%. So obviously from a young age, if you're not seeing yourself as the hero, or if you're not seeing yourself as the doctor or the lawyer or the film director or the DJ in these books, and it's always little Johnny, for example, is that shaping how children are growing up? And that would be something that I'd ask you guys, whether you felt that that's important to see yourself in books when you was younger.
Wow.
Well, are we answering this question?
Yeah, why not?
Why not?
I think it's a debate to have.
The fact that, firstly, like, I think what you're doing is absolutely amazing.
Sick.
Next time I bump into you in Ibiza, I will buy your... I'm not even going to buy your berry. I'm going to buy your bottle. It'll probably be a bottle of water because my pockets are shallow right now because man hasn't been working. But I'm going to get you. Growing up, not having black people in books, I don't really think it bothered me because I had a lot of black people around me. So sitting here where I'm at now, the fact that there weren't really black people in books, I don't necessarily know if it affected where I'm at today, but I had a lot of strong male figures around. My dad, uncles, my dad's friends. You know, if I was to look at it from the perspective of children whose fathers might not necessarily be around and there's not really a lot of, you know, black male role models in their life, then I think it would definitely have a positive effect, and it's definitely needed. I even just with TV, like I know that I don't think it hit me at the time watching TV and growing up in like the 80s and even 90s, you know, things like the A-Team, Knight Rider, Dukes of Hazzard, Airwolf, those were kind of my favorite programs.
Big shows though.
You understand? But, you know, the only black person, B.A. Baracus, running around with bare gold chains around his neck. No, but the thing is, if you listen to our interview with B.A. Baracus now, he explains why he done that.
Yeah.
You understand? But at the time, you was just that figure. You understand? The big black man that just knocked out everyone. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So, you know, in regards to now and books, I kids need it. Kids with black role models in their life need it. Kids without black role models in their life need it. And especially, as you said, kids that... Because I've said this for years. There's places in this country... Like, I've been to places in this country and seen little white kids, 10, 11, 12 years old, just stare at me because they haven't seen a black person in real life. And people think I'm talking nonsense. But
no, Damon, I've seen it. I've been there.
Country where... they haven't seen a real life black person. And obviously the books aren't gonna, you know, replace a real life black person, but it gives them more exposure. It's like, yes, we are about and we are here and we are in society. And as you said, you know, when you're talking about, you know, just in any book about children playing, yes, there has to be Asian and black children in there. There has to be. There has to be. Absolutely. Yeah, it's a great thing.
I think definitely, like, for me, it's just like representation in literature is so important. And obviously, even for my children, like, the type of literature we try to expose them to, like, I've always tried to buy them literature that's got black people in it and that's got black narratives and all these. And I just feel like schools need to implement it a little bit more. Sometimes, you know, I go to my kids' school, it's a diverse school, but it's like a predominantly white middle class teacher base. So these kids are constantly seeing non-black people in positions of power. So they spend, like, you know, a large chunk of their life. So they can't relate to them in that way. And at the same time, you know, in the work that they consume or that they're forced to consume, the literature is not diverse enough. So I feel like actually schools need to take more action in diversifying the literature that they work from. And so a lot of schools, some of it is on a national curriculum, but some of it they can choose. A lot of schools have a lot of power in choosing what literature, especially at primary school, because the kids have to take books home like every few days or every week or whatever. Because my kids bring one pre-COVID were bringing books home like every few days or every like week, so you always had literature coming home, and a lot of that doesn't feature black characters. So I think it's really important that children are exposed to, you know, black people in diverse positions in life.
It's funny because I've had a majority of the kickback has been from people who want to just maintain the status quo. So like my point to a few people has been, well, the books that I read when I was growing up, whether they were Roald Dahl books, for example, I try and challenge someone to name me a black character from a Roald Dahl book across any of them. I couldn't think of one. I'm sure someone may find one somewhere, but I couldn't think of one.
That makes sense, though. It makes sense.
Ain't
no black youths running around with a big friendly giant rude boy.
Listen, there's a Roald Dahl book here where it's his autobiography, because my son's got a collection. And he was being racist in the book. I was so shocked.
What did he say?
I can't remember, but I was reading it to my kids one time, like as a bedtime story. And there's a book where he's writing about being young and being on a ship or something. I'll find out which one and I'll let you lot know. And I stopped reading. I've never touched it since. Mm-hmm. I was like, what is... But it wasn't like, you know, like it was like racism of its time.
Right. Yeah.
Like it was referring to a black or Asian person in a derogatory way. And I was just like, what the hell is this? I dropped it out. I was like, you know what? I'm cool. But like, obviously, but these are like books that kids grow up reading. And so it's really, I mean, it's really important to have diversity in these, in but literature.
Also, but also more to the point, right? Like, what's the problem with, like, I think it's always that like losing the status quo. I've had a few people mention on the side who, when I've really pressed them, it's like, well, what's the problem with the current books? Like, it's not doing anyone any problems at the moment. I grew up all right on these current books. I'm like, yeah, because you're white and middle aged now. Like, of course you was okay with them, but because you see yourself represented in all these children's books, and then when you got into secondary school, all the books were again on those topics. We're not talking about you, we're talking about other people and making sure that other people are represented. Like, how can you have a classroom in Newham, for example, of mainly black and Asian children, yet 99% of the books in the children's library in the corner are Danny the Champion of the World or Charlie and
that's a banging book though. Danny the Champion.
Bad Boys. Well, I remember Danny the Champion of the World.
You see that one I read to my son.
That's a classic.
That's a Bad Boy book.
Our classics, our children's classics, are all of those books where black and Asian people don't feature. So are you telling me that there aren't any classics written by black authors? Of course there are.
Sure.
So maybe it's time to start implementing some of them, and let's, instead of making you read 4 Roald Dahl books when you're a kid, maybe 2 or 3, and let's slip something else in there to try and broaden the story and just not tell everything from one person's narrative. And I think David Walliams now from Little Britain, at least said about him the better, but some of his behavior, but in the past, but his books now are the new Roald Dahl books of primary school children these days.
Mm.
And again, there's no representation at all in those books. And he is being touted, and I see a lot of backlash about him on Twitter, but he is being touted as kind of the next Roald Dahl kind of set of books for kids for the next generation. And it's scary because, again, it's a whole other generation just missed of really talented black writers who, and I've just seen, I asked for what Femi, I'm going to get Sean in and Alex as well, a couple of others, but I've been sent a long list of 90 books. And we are having to shorten them down to 40, obviously, which is a really difficult task because I feel like I want to purchase them all for every school. But there are books in there from all over the world telling different stories and incredible, incredible authors. And I'm, as a grown adult, didn't understand or didn't know 90% of these authors, maybe even 95%. So the schools don't either. Because when I'm going to schools, they're saying these look like great books. Never heard of them, but they look like great books. Cool. So it's falling down at that level as well. It's like who is the person who buys the books in these schools? Who, why is it just, oh well, that's what we bought last year, so we'll just get the same run again. Thanks.
Yeah.
We'll get the same run again. And that's been happening for years. So maybe it's time to shake it up. And if people don't like it being shaken up, well, maybe they're in the wrong profession, right?
You know what's mad about all of this, yeah? Like, why I find it weird that it's a debate. Listen, we as black people have had to grow up here watching James Bond, reading Roald Dahl, will not say it didn't do us a disservice. Why can't mainstream middle-class white people now take a little bit of our flavors? Like, add it, because we've had to grow up on your flavors and not even without a debate. You know, one of those, we had no say because there was 5 channels back in the day, innit? So, like, even 4 in Damon's, well, I don't know, maybe even 2 or 3.
Damon had no color. No color.
Black or white things back in Uncle's day. But ultimately, the point is, yeah, we've had to, over the years, consume, and this is the thing, like, me reading Roald Dahl, Danny the Champion of the World, all these different books, I'm happy that I read these books. They've not done me bad. Now, kids, like, you know, or like slightly older kids should be reading Things Fall Apart and books like that, that give greater understanding of, like, you know, the black experience. But from a like fun kid's perspective, like, even Alicia Dixon, she's got a set of books, you know?
Didn't even know that.
She's got books for, like, little girls. It's dope. But anyway.
No, I mean, so Scott, with the viewers that we've got here, what how can they find you? How can they find these books? How can they find you? How can they donate? How can they get involved? How can they help? How can we all help?
Well, I guess I'll just, the easiest way, well, would be to search my name on GoFundMe, or it would be to just probably look on Femi's page, and hopefully Femi will retweet something for me at some point.
No, the link is on my page, on my page, my Twitter page and the Instagram page. I'm going to put the link in the group chat, in the group chat on this page as well.
Can you put it on the Cut the Chat Instagram as well, Femi?
Yeah, I will do, 100%. Okay.
Okay. And just, you know what, it's just share, like, that again, when we're talking about cutting the grass, like, all I've ever asked from anyone is to just press the share button. Even if you ain't got no money, it's fine, because if you share it, one person who you share it will have a fiver.
If any, share that.
That's also, just share it, and then the next person will, one of your friends will donate, and if they share it, then one of their friends will donate. I'm not asking 1,000 people to donate. I think to get to 14 grand, we only had 400 people donate to get to that level. So you're not asking for thousands and thousands of people to be donating here. It's just share. Like, it's the easiest thing in the world, right? Whether it be your friend's clothing brand who they've just started up, and we're all sat there and everyone's a bit slush around the share button. But it's true. For some reason we are. And for this, it's children's books. Like, how is there a negative? I don't see how there is a reason not to do that. I've been kind of accused of jumping on kind of political bandwagons and, oh yeah, I don't really want to get involved in the politics of it. Where are the politics? It's just children and books.
Like,
that's the problem. If you want to try and bring politics into it, you're hiding behind something else. Mm. If you feel like you need to deflect away from what I'm asking you to do, which is share something, if you don't feel comfortable enough to do that, and then you just say, and you'll hide behind the politics of it, or the politics of Black Lives Matter, then if anything, there's a problem in that itself, right? So I tried to, when I went to certain organizations, to even try and strip that, the Black Lives Matter stuff out of it, which I shouldn't have needed to do, but I did, because I felt like it would gain more track, and it did. Well, even though
Black Lives Matter as in the organization,
well, this is one of the things that I got addressed on. Oh, okay, these are great, but what are, and I guess it's a different conversation altogether, but like, so what are your views on how we change stuff? And it's like, listen, I don't follow that Black Lives Matter movement, of the political arm of that. I'm very much,
what, defunding the police?
No, mate, I'm all for that. I mean, like, someone would say to me, okay, so if you were running Black Lives Matter, how would you change stuff? It's like, for me, that isn't a Black Lives Matter problem. That is a society problem. That's the organizations that are already in there. That's for them to shine the light and look at themselves and change themselves. Like, we, even as us guys here, we can't change how Deloitte hire people as an accounting firm, right? Or KPMG or these companies. We're not going to be able to do that from where we are. So the only way you can do it, and which is what I love about Black Lives Matter as a movement, is that it's asking people to shine lights and mirrors on themselves and see where their own views are. And then maybe they'll start to change those processes from inside. I just don't think that by default, like, don't get me wrong, all of these things that have been coming up, the political sides, are going to change anything overnight, because they can't. Just for example, putting books into schools, that's a generational thing. We're not going to see these white children in Cornwall who are now reading about Ruby Bridges or Nelson Mandela or Rosa Parks. We're not going to see these children get into positions of power for 30 years, sadly. So even though our generation is apparently better, we're still not going to see those people as CEOs of multinational companies until they're 60, and that's 30 years away. So, and I know it's a bit of a sad take on it, but that's the truth. So there's got to be something. It isn't a summer thing that we have to just get behind for a summer. This is something that everyone has to get behind for a generation in order for these things to change. But I ultimately think that we appear to be in the right frame of mind now. And when I say we, I probably mean the majority of white people, who I know anyway, and my bubble is obviously the certain bubble that we would expect it to be. But I feel like people are now turning around and saying, oh, actually, no, enough of this. Enough. And hopefully, yeah, I don't think it's going to be something that changes anytime soon, but I do feel like the rules of motion are now in place. And that's my that's my optimistic view on it, really. But all we can do with this book movement is ask people to share it, ask people to keep talking about it in their workplaces, talk about it in their primary schools. If it gets to a stage where I have too many primary schools, then I'll look at starting the whole thing up again and maybe half matching people and trying to get it to more schools. Or like what's happened, which I think is even more important, is that little splinter cells have started setting off. So I had a woman in Newcastle say, look, do you mind if I rip your idea off for my own school? And I was like, of course, why would I not? She was like, I'm just going to do bake sales and little tea parties in order to raise £250 so we can buy our own school these books. That's the important part of this. I want to kind of step away from it and no one remember that I even tried to do this, because it's got so far along that people are doing it themselves.
Well, that's fresh. And that's
where I'm trying to get it to. So yeah, talk about it, ask people, and if people do come against you and maybe say, do you think that's a good idea? Then have those conversations, because I've had so many interesting conversations with people and changed their mind on certain topics in the last month than I thought I'd ever have to have. So yeah, not only is it getting the kids talking about race, which is the actual tagline, but it's also getting adults and teachers and parents to talk about it as well.
Thanks, Scotty, man.
Keep going, man. We appreciate you, brother.
I'm trying, man. I'm sorry if I beat you.
Nah, man. Everybody's giving you love in the comments, and we're just going to continue to share that link. And I'm pretty sure everybody else will as well, man. Thank you so much for what you're doing.
Wow, my pleasure.
Thanks, bro. Thanks, boys.
I've got a relationship corner before you lot decide to dip out.
You've not had one in a minute.
I've had a couple, but Ace just keeps on locking us up early. This is a bit of a mad one. So this is weird, yeah. So on Sunday, I'm driving back from north to south, yeah. And I'm going down this road, and I kid you not. Can I say this, Ace? Can I talk about why I rang you and told you who to ring?
Yeah.
So I'm driving down the road, and I could have sworn I've seen Ace's daughter walking down the road holding hands with a guy. Yeah.
She wouldn't dare.
I'm wrangling.
What's wrong with that?
She wouldn't dare. At 15.
I've rang him quickly, yeah. And I'm like, yo, where's your daughter? He's like, at home white. I said, listen, ring her now and make sure in it. Anyway, turns out she was fine. Well, not, it wasn't her that I saw. Cool. So then imagine the following day, I'm driving down the road and I do see her walking down the road, but not with a guy, with a school friend, like a, well, I don't even know, it's just some girl with a dog or something, whatever, Bridget.
So
I videoed her in it and I shouted at her through the car. She's like, oh, hi, uncle, whatever. So I've sent it to Ace. Obviously, Ace is like, yeah, it's good that she knows that eyes are on her. Anyway, ironically, the exact same thing has happened to one of his brethren. Sorry, one of my brethren, sorry.
Oh, so what? Okay, <right. laughs>
The exact same thing has happened to one of my brethren. He got a phone call from one of his friends saying, yeah, I just saw your daughter walking down the road and she lips a guy. Now, when I say guy, I'm not talking about grown man, but whatever. And he's like, nah, my daughter's not old enough to be kissing anyone, blah, 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 blah.
How old is she?
Exactly the same age.
Nah. It's 50, she 50. Would end there.
How old?
15. Now, she's 15.
I was lipsing at 14, though.
We don't, you were doing a lot. You were doing a hell of a lot.
I was lipsing at 12.
Swear down, you was lipsing at 12?
I think so.
12?
Yeah, kiss chase. I was lipsing. I was doing
that. Nah, that's not lipsing, though.
Well, I don't know lipsing. I put my tongue in my mouth. You could have got germs.
At 12?
You could have got germs.
You're nasty, man.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, what's the question?
Thanks, Lee. The dad's not on it. Well, they stuck it on the daughter. The daughter's like, yeah, how old is he? The guy's 16. She's 15. The first issue was the boy's 16 years old, satin, satin, satin. And even when I spoke to my brethren, it was like, 16 could be the difference of a matter of months. Could be even a matter of days. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So that to me isn't necessary.
They could still be in the same school year at 15 and 16.
Absolutely. But the dad is like, he's not on it. He's just, nah, what does my daughter know about kissing, let alone walking with boys, blah, blah, blah. The mum is kind of cool. The mum's like, well, it happens. This and that, we need to be liberal. He's not having it. It's causing arguments in the household with him and his missus and him and the daughter.
What does the law say about that?
The law say about what?
About a 16-year-old kissing a 15-year-old.
I think it might be legal, you know.
It's legal or illegal?
Illegal, which is weird. Because actually, you just said something about it because they could be in the same year in school.
Yeah, they could be in the same year, but
legally, it's illegal.
It must be illegal. Yeah. Technically, it's illegal.
Yeah.
By the time that gets to court, he's going to probably be 16 anyway.
So?
No, but he is 16.
He is 16. She was saying
it's illegal.
It's illegal to lip someone.
No. To lips anyone. Like, that's basically...
She's a minor. She's a minor.
16-year-old to lips a 15-year-old.
Yeah, she's minor. She's a minor.
Yeah.
Even if it's the same year.
Yeah, it's bizarre.
That's the thing. That's what the guy was. He was coming off with that angle as well. And that's when, to be fair, I said to him, "Well, look, 16 or 15 could be the difference. It could be the difference of hours, let alone days, weeks, and a couple months. Do you know what I mean?" I said to him, "Me, Percy, I said the 15, 16, from you're in the same mindset, from you're both in the same kind of mind frame together, that wouldn't really, really be an issue for me."
I don't like it.
Bro, you're never gonna like it. There's nothing you can do. If I found out that my kids were kissing at that age, yeah, I'd have to, it'd just be a conversation, like a conversation on a level though, like, oh,
what are you saying to your daughter?
Well, my daughter that flips in at what, at 15? I just have a conversation about like where this can lead to, like where it goes next, what it's all about. Just, you have that kind of a real conversation, like you're a grown up now. Like by the end of the day, my thing is I want you to focus on that's not important yet. And you won't understand me until you get what I'm saying? Do you get to certain ages? But focus on yourself. You don't need to be. But at the same time, because I think if you try and hide it, I know girls that parents were strict, bro, and they were the worst. Cause they were the worst.
You sound like you enjoyed it, Lee.
Bro, I know one. I don't. You know, it's funny though. Now, let me not.
Let's not
do. Let me not throw anyone under the bus. But I remember a certain girl, and her dad was a bad man. Bad man. And when we were younger, no one wanted to even chat to her because of her pops. And she was worse. She was worse.
All right.
And her dad was taking your neck off.
Abe.
Yep.
When it comes to that time, yeah. When it comes to that time, I think I know what your answer is, but obviously you've got two types of parents. You've got the set of parents that are like, I would rather it happen under my house. Then you've got the parents of like, no, it's never going to happen. You know, a lot of people in the group are commenting that you suddenly started to rock on your chair.
I don't know, man. I'm just uncomfortable. I'm uncomfortable with this whole thing. Like,
bruv, you know what?
Mm-hmm.
You've had this mind frame, this mindset for a good couple of years. You need to grub up and fix up. Your daughter's 15, bro.
So
I had to go through it. Listen, your daughter, bruv.
I can. I'm gonna parent how I want to parent. Yeah.
And how is that? Are you gonna box her down?
No, I ain't gonna box her down. But
you lock her in the house.
You know what it is? All right. We're asking her two various different things. Like, is my daughter gonna be lipsing at 15? I hope not. No, wait. I hope not. If she does, I hope I don't find out. That's it. If I do find out, then we'll have words, innit? Is she going to be lips in a 16-year-old? Nah. I'm sorry. No. And if I do find out, I'm calling the feds. It's like, that's it. That's the end of it. That's kind of the end of it. Like, I think as kids, you have to respect your parents enough to keep things from them. That's it. Respect me enough that I don't find out. That's how I feel about it. Respect, like, I respected my mum enough to do things before my mum got home at 6 o'clock, and she doesn't know to this day. Respect me enough that I'm not going to find out. And if you're loose enough that I find out, then you deserve to get the repercussions of me finding out. And that might be me calling the feds on your 16-year-old boyfriend, or me thumping him down, one of the two. So I think as teenagers, if there's any teenagers listening right now, just respect your parents enough that they're not going to find out you're getting on.
Walk one.
That's no, it. Sir. Like, I moved in silence. I moved like a big ninja. You know what I'm saying?
Like a ninja.
Yeah, you should be moving the same way. Like, if you're moving loose, then you're gonna feel the repercussions of looseness. Hey, that's what I'm saying.
Do you really think that your mum had no idea with what you was doing?
Yes. 100%. So what are you doing? She after didn't
you
know.
Had yelling around the house. Did you air freshen out the house? Was you burning candles?
The thing is, my mum trusted me. All right. I don't even want to throw my mum. My mum listens to this. I only just found out the other day. But mum, sorry if you're listening. But I had girls stay at my house. I did. Like, on occasion. I'm not like at 16, but I was like, I was old enough for things to happen.
What, over? They stayed over? Your mom,
yeah. Bro. Like, bro. My mum, like, thingy missed the last bus, innit? She missed the last bus. Can she just, like, we're just going to, we'll just watch telly, innit?
Relax.
Like, mum be like, yeah, what, is it all right if her parents? Yeah, we cool, it's fine. All right, cool. And those things happen. Do you know what I'm saying? I have learned from that. And I just think if you respect your parents, you will respect them enough for them not to find out
what
you're going on with.
So Ace, I'm sorry, yeah? With all due respect to your mum.
No, don't, because my mum's listening. Yeah. You will be banned from the house. You'll be banned.
When you were having those girls over, yeah? You thought your mum thought.
In it? Your mum knew, bro.
Nothing was happening.
Nah. Mum didn't think. I don't think she did.
You might want to hear my story, yeah?
Go ahead.
So one time, yeah. So obviously, I was coming to the house when I was whatever from young age, from a left school, but I never used to stay in it. Because obviously, but one time, but you know, you get cocky in it. So this is how the world works in it. You let them stay late. And then one day you say, you know what? I know my mum and dad are working 9 to 5. So I know in the morning, when we go to college, they're not going to be in the yard. Do you get what I'm saying? So you kind of work it out. All right, babes. She's coming in to listen now, isn't it? Anyway. So yeah. So obviously I knew come college time, I've lost my trail of thought. I'm nervous. So here it goes. I lost. Where was I going with this story? Anyway, yeah. So yeah, okay. Basically, obviously, you push it. So what happened is one day a girl stayed over, and
wait! Breaking news! My mum just texted me to say I did know.
That's what we've been saying in the chat. She knew.
She knew, yes. Boy.
Oh man, this is pain. Hey, yeah,
Sunday dinner is gonna be awkward at money,
isn't it?
Anyway, now, sorry, Lee. Continue.
But anyway, yeah. So one Sunday, anyway, I had a lady stay over, yeah. And I thought, you know what? Routine in the morning. Monday's gonna wake up. No one's gonna be in the yard. I could walk around, I could fry a plant, and I could do my thing. Because you know, like, I'm just thinking, there's no one in the yard, isn't it? It's Monday. I've woken up. Yeah, it must have been about 10 o'clock, and I can hear movement in the yard, and I'm thinking, oh my god, what? So I've come out my room, gone downstairs into the kitchen. I'm like, mum, how could you not work today? Today I had a day off today, innit? My heart is beating, you know. I'm pacing up and down the kitchen. Say, you're right. I'm like, yeah. Okay. So you going out today? No, man, I'm not going nowhere. But she's been calm about this thing, you know. I'm thinking, rah, how am I gonna get this girl out the yard? Because she's going to go mad. Went up to my room. You know, you got to your room. Told the girl, listen, I don't know what we're going to do, but you can't move for now. The girl's telling me she needs to go. Telling me I need to go. I'm like, no. Come back downstairs. Gone to the toilet. You know, you're just pacing up and down, isn't it? Pacing up and down. And then no one ever lied. This is when I knew my mom was a G. Like, her back was facing me, yeah? And I'm walking towards her. And she turned around and said, well, your guest been using a toothbrush. Bro, the worst thing is, how did she know? How did she even know there was someone in the room? I don't understand. She must have busted the door.
They know. Listen, I'm going to tell you something now. Yeah? I'm going to tell you something now. You see, when it's your yard, it doesn't matter how many times you tell that person, walk quietly.
Yeah, of course.
They know how many footsteps that is. They know, bro. Even a different smell, even a different smell of a different person, they know, bro. Mm-hmm. They absolutely know 100%.
I got a story I wish I could tell about my... Now I know my mum's listening. There's absolutely...
Bro, you might as well tell it. She knows what happened anyway.
No way I'm telling this story.
She knows what happened now, man.
Nah, G. Nah, it's all right. It's too embarrassing.
She probably knows.
Sunday dinner will be super orcs.
Stiff.
But yeah, my mum says it's only because I'm a boy, which is bad. Because I was allowed to get away with Shegri.
Yeah, but you know what?
African mums are lax when it comes to boys, you know.
Yeah.
They let boys do anything, but you see their daughters? They can't even go out till they're 21.
Do you know
my mum sometimes, sorry, Damon.
Go on.
No, go on,
your mom.
My mom sometimes, now my sister's 25, almost 26, yeah. Mm. My mom still gets onto her about, my mom's like, do you know she got home at 1 o'clock yesterday? Like, I'm gonna back her. And I'm like, no. She's like on it still. My sister's a big woman. Like, what are you talking about? What am I gonna tell her? What, you can't go out, you can't go raving. Like,
that's hilarious.
Well, yeah, sorry, dude.
I agree with that. The thing is, yeah, you see, once a name gets put on you, bruv, you can't shake it, bruv. And the reality is, names don't get put on men like that. Yeah, you know I mean, but when they get put on girls, it's long. So, you know, we got to do everything we can to keep them names away from our daughters and nieces and younger sisters.
It's like the difference between Gallus and Jezzy. It means the same thing. But absolutely. Gallus is revered, like, he's a Gallus. You know what I'm saying? But yeah. if you're called a Jezzy as a female, it's horrible. Yeah. It's horrid. It's mad.
I've got a guy who is young, he's making money, he's living in East London, he's in that lifestyle, he's in that Brick Lane lifestyle, yeah. And bruv, like, he's linking girls and just, they're just doing their thing the same night. And the girls like, yeah, they he goes, he was with a girl on Saturday. She's dipped. She hasn't even called him or messaged him. And I'm like, this is how girls are moving. Girls are moving like this. And, you know, times are changing, bro. Times are changing. Mm-hmm. I remember I said a little while ago, men like to think that it's only men that like to have sex. Hear what I'm saying, Ace.
Can we lock off this podcast now? I'm tired. My brain is hurting, fam. My head is hurting.
I had to go through the same thing. Remember, I had to have the conversation with my daughter.
Yeah, I'm not ready.
You need to get ready because it's best you have it.
Nah, I'm not ready.
You're having a different conversation. I'll tell you that now.
I'm not ready, bro. I'm not ready, bro. Anyway, guys, listen.
Can we talk about my boys? Yeah, my wife wants to tell my boys about sex.
Yeah, ready, man.
What does she want to tell them about it though?
Not like because they're asking random questions now.
Like
about babies and how babies are made. We could talk about it next time, or we could talk about.
No, we're here.
I think it's time for you to tell them.
Because she was like, "No, you have to talk to them. You're the man."
Tell them sex always feels better without a condom. send them to Uncle. Uncle will tell them about one. It feels so nice. Don't use condoms. It's a waste of time.
Lee is back.
That's what you tell them. Wait, don't forget all the other stuff, man. Oh. So good, man.
Everyone in the chat, forget Lee. Come on, help me out. Like, is there a book? Is there a podcast? Help me out. Everyone in the chat, please.
Wait, oh, what? I got a where is it? Hold on.
So, you don't need to help me because
you know what? Hey, no, sorry, Femi, honestly. Bruv, I'd just be honest with them. Like, you can gauge their mental state, like where they are. Just be honest with them. But you know what it is? What I think the one thing that you have to ensure that they know is you have sex with somebody when you love them. That's the only bit that you understand what I'm saying. That's the only bit that I learned. Like,
you know, is that the truth though?
People, well, obviously not, but I'd be like, people that have sex.
Why would you tell them a lie? Why would you tell them a lie then?
Lee, look at you. You're sitting there, what? Unemployed with a bloody acid t-shirt on. They're not following your way.
Rock and roll unks. Yeah, but why tell them sex? Why tell them about love though? Why love and sex not always together?
Well, by the time they realize that's a lie, they will be old enough to have sex. Cool, whatever.
I've been in love bare times.
Femi, I recommend this book. Yeah, this is what me and my son have been going through recently. It's called What's Happening to Me.
Okay.
And
you read it to your boy, yeah?
Now we're going through it at the moment. It's like stuff about wet dreams, about the difference between men and women, about getting bigger, about sweating, about hair growth.
Did wet dreams? Do you remember that? I ain't heard that for time, bro. I remember everyone was talking about they having a wet dream, and I lied.
Put it up closer. I lied.
Yeah. What's that? About all that stuff. So wow. Yeah, it's called What's Happening to Me. Go for it. That's an advert free to whoever Osborne is.
Okay. To be fair, you got to remember. Yeah, I don't know about you guys, but you remember how young you was when you started getting tested. Like in your mind, start physically thinking that a bit active because I wasn't the only one getting a boner watching EastEnders certain times.
Jesus Christ!
All right, can we lock this off now?
No, but you go. I'm saying to you from a young age when you saw them lips in. You know, back in the day, what's the one before she started getting on the coke and that?
What's her name? On the coke.
What's her name? She started getting coke and then her nose went.
Daniel Westbrook.
Yeah, do you remember when she was young in EastEnders? She was buffed. She was a spice them time there, man.
All right, Lee, just shut up.
That was just a phase.
Femi, like what? You and your wife know the right time, innit? And if she's thinking about it, then this is probably the right time. But Ace with that book, it's better they know than to not know and find out from their little friends and all of that kind of stuff. Or even as Lee said, programs, because like there was
communication.
I was watching some children's program with like my little niece, a little while ago. And some of these children's programs are a bit wild, you know? Like, they're not really, they wasn't really delving into sex, but you see how children behave based on when they watch these programs and all of that. So I would chat to them before they start watching the wrong things and getting the wrong idea. And
do you like what
consent and all of that kind of stuff?
Do you watch In Between Us? Do any of you not watch In Between Us? You don't watch it. So there was a guy in Between Us, yeah, and he used to act like he knew everything about sex, yeah. And this is what, like, growing up, there was a guy I grew up with, and he used to talk like he knew everything about sex, and 90% of the information they told me was false. But at the same time, you take it as gospel because you're thinking, well, I don't know nothing. So, and you take that information. That's why I think it's good as a parent, you start talking about it now. As uncomfortable as the conversation can go, you might as well start talking about it now because it's the misinformation.
What did you get? Femi, what are you thinking?
I'll be honest, like, you know me already. You don't know me. I was just going to tell them, listen, this is what really happens, isn't it? And then just leave it with them. And they do with it what they want.
Yeah.
I'll be honest, because I was telling, when my missus was telling me, like, oh, you need to have the chat with them, you're the man. I was thinking, do you know what? I'll just, like everyone's saying, I was just going to tell them, boom, yeah? You see your little thing in your trousers, yeah? That's, this is what happens with it. Because you know what they've always had for ages and they've not understood? When they have an erection, they're always confused by why they have it. And I've been seeing them from when they were little boys, or they're like, my thing's pointing again, it's pointing again.
Is it? See, me, I would never tell my parents that, you know? Always hide it, like I wasn't allowed to know.
This is the thing, like with them, yeah? Sometimes like they're like, oh, they're like, just come out of the shower and they're getting dressed. They're like, oh, look, daddy, my thing's pointing. And you can't really, like, so I've kind of obviously avoided it. So, like,
you need to box it, fam. See, when they say it's pointing, they get box it.
So I just think I just need to be honest with them and stop running away.
Yeah. And you know what? As you're saying that now, yeah. It's weird because I had the conversation with my daughter, but me and my daughter have always had a kind of a different dynamic in our relationship because obviously we're overseas and we a lot of the time we talk as brethrens and bloody bloody blah, as you lot know, cut the chat. But my conversation with her was, are you thinking about it? Who's this, who's that, bloody, bloody, blah. But I didn't have to have that kind of conversation from the beginning and talk about, so I would even know. I'm sitting here now thinking, yeah, if me and Aish have a boy, like, I'm going to have them conversations. Like, I would even, I don't know, I wouldn't even, bruv, I'm going to learn something from you and Ace.
Bro, I'm copying that book on Amazon now, the Ace book.
Yes, man.
Because my children like to read. And yeah. I think I'm just like, Rago just going to show them, listen, this is what happens. And this is why you shouldn't disturb mommy and daddy. No, I'm just joking.
tell them again.
Tell them. Right. We've been on for an hour and 45 minutes today. Can we go now?
What?
Yeah.
Hour and 45 minutes, yeah.
Podcast.
And make sure you tell them they need a slow jam tape as well for me. Tell them they need some slow jams. They'd appreciate that information from uncle when they get older.
You know what? This podcast has been consistently about children.
But today?
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Ace, can you upload it, please?
Yeah, I can.
Have you uploaded any of the others?
No. Well, if they want to listen to it, they can listen to it on YouTube.
Ace, not everybody knows that it's on YouTube. People still just think it's on Spotify.
I allow it, man. You're giving me more work to do, man.
Bro, no one told you to go and get all professional and get busy
since Father's Day.
Oh, I did what? Really?
The last time you uploaded a podcast was on Father's Day.
All right, sorry. I'll handle that tomorrow. Tomorrow I'll upload all the podcasts. All right, guys. Till next Tuesday. Love you. We're out. Oh, massive shout out to Scotty as well again. And make sure you guys share the link. Let's try and get him to that 3 million. Why not? We can do it.
Let's get him up there, definitely. Just before you lock it off, Ace, we need to say a massive happy birthday to Cheryl.
Hey.
Oh, yes, her birthday, innit?
Big up, Cheryl. Happy birthday. Also, a massive shout out to Alan, who owns the restaurant Sundays. His book. Remember when we had him on a live podcast and he wasn't allowed to talk about the book coming out?
Yeah.
Well, the book's out. The book came out today. Everyone, go on Amazon, cop the book. Just go into Amazon, type in the search engine, Sunday book, and it will come up. It's about recipes from his restaurant, his amazing restaurant. His recipes bang. Femi, you've eaten there quite a bit. Dope. The restaurant bangs a lie.
It's dope. I'm going to buy
it. Where is it again?
Where is the restaurant or where is the book?
The restaurant.
Barnsbury.
Well, the restaurant's closed.
Oh, yeah, Barnsbury.
Right now,
oh,
okay. But they're reopening soon. But yeah, just go online, get the book, support the cause. He supported us from day one. Yeah, good things.
All right, you lot, till next time, rate, subscribe, comment. Till next Tuesday, we are out. Peace.
I'll see you on Sunday for dinner, Ace. I'm going to be there.
Later.
Bye.
Later.